Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Jeff, today we're going to be talking about a deal you were kind of telling me about a little bit. This is a property you just got, and you made some mistakes on it, right?
I did.
So we're going to be talking about some, you know, real deal, real time mistakes that you made on it and what you learned from it, because, you know, mistakes are ultimately just learning opportunities, right?
Yep.
So let's dive in. Tell us about the deal. Tell us, you know, how you found it, what you structured on it, and what mistakes you've made and what you've learned.
So the first thing I'd like to preface is that even though we're talking about the mistakes, most of you would really like this deal. So it's going to work out just fine.
Okay.
It just could have worked out a little bit better. So let's talk about what we did here. This was a property that was listed, which is unusual, but we didn't find it through the MLS. We found it for sale by owner somewhere and didn't know it was listed. And it was funny, the realtor actually is a friend of the seller, trying to help him out. And the realtor contacted me and said, I don't understand how you're going to buy this property, because I would love to buy this property. And I've been racking my brains for the last like 3 months figuring out how I could possibly make any money on it. I own a number of properties in the area and I do rentals, and I can't figure out how I could make any, and I certainly don't know how you are.
Did you tell him to listen to the Creative Financing Podcast?
And so he'll probably end up listening to this episode. Okay. So I explained a little bit about what we do, not a whole lot, just because I feel like the more you try to educate, the more confused people try to get. So I'm trying to be simple.
Right. And
so this is what we did. So we found this deal. The realtor signed off, said, all right, if you can put together a deal, I'll look at it and I'll go over it with my client and make sure that, you know, it's in his best interest. He was kind of in a rush. So he's in the military and he was being transferred. So
the seller was.
Yeah, the seller was. And so what we did is mistake number one. I have people that make contact with the seller, gather that information, and then I have our acquisition person follow up and verify anything that, you know, any other information that we may need. So when we're trying to structure owner financing, the things that we really need are, what are the terms of the underlying loan, right?
Right.
Like, what's the balance? Doesn't have to be exact. What's the interest rate? What's the monthly payment? Does that include taxes and insurance? Is it a variable rate? Could it change? Is there a balloon payment? Yeah, those kinds of things we have to know. For whatever reason, we didn't get all of that information up front. And there was a rush, right? Like, someone else was trying to make an offer, and so
it's like, we need to hurry up and get this under contract.
That's right. So I threw out some numbers without having all the information.
Okay,
so, and I'm trying to go off memory, so I don't know if all the numbers will be exact, but I think we offered $372,000, okay? And this house is worth about $395,000, four maybe. It's in good shape, not super updated, not terribly dated. It's not that old of a house, so good area. And so, but he'd already had it for sale for like $387,000 on the MLS. It wasn't selling. So
okay.
So we offered $372,000.
Okay.
With like, I think it was $21,000 down. Something like that. and probably like 4.5% interest. 4.25.
Okay.
And actually, we probably offered a little more. So in my mind, in my when I made this offer, I thought our exit strategy is to wholesale this property, but to wholesale it to an owner occupant.
Okay.
Okay. So in this case, I don't really mind that what the interest rate is, as long as it's reasonable, because I'm not trying to make a spread there. So it could have been all the way up to 5%, because that's about what interest rates are right now. So I'm fine with that, as long as it's not outrageous. The house is in good condition. It's in a good area. The price is within the value of the house. And the down payment's decent, because I'm expecting I'm going to get 10% down. So I'm looking at trying to get around $40,000. The way I look at it is that we'll probably make, you know, somewhere between $17,000 to $20,000 on this. Just go find that buyer, be in it and out of it.
Okay.
Okay? So that was my thinking. So and we went to the seller, and the seller agreed to everything. The realtor signed off, but I told them, we're not the buyer. We've got to go find that buyer. We need 30 days. He's like, fine. So this was literally right before Thanksgiving, maybe a few days prior to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Worst time of the year between November through the end of the year.
Yeah.
And so we had some interest, and we're doing this podcast in almost Christmas time right now.
Right.
And we still have interest, but no one is signing the paperwork right now. No one is like committing right before Christmas to buy a house. I mean, it just rarely happens.
Yeah.
So anything that's going to happen is going to be
next year.
Yeah. So, and I knew he was in a rush. So 2 weeks into this, I went back to him and I said, I still did not have all the facts on the underlying mortgage, which is my bad and my team's bad, okay? That's a no-no,
yeah.
Okay? So I didn't exactly know how much he owed, and I didn't really know what his underlying mortgage was,
uh-huh.
And I really didn't know that he had some motivation, so that I could tell he was getting a little antsy, and that they kept saying we could be out of here in 3 days, and I'm like, all right. So I said, what if we just buy it, okay? We'll just be the buyer. We won't worry about going and finding it. We'll deal with that. He's like, great. I said, but we have to modify the terms a bit. I can't buy at the values that I've given you. And he's like, great. What can you do? So I went from 372 to 366. Not a big deal, right?
Right.
I went, I think it was like 4.5 to maybe 4.25. I went from a 3-year term to a 4-year term. Okay. So not huge differences. He's like, absolutely, I'm in. And so we set up a closing. We had 21,000 down. We went to that from that to 16.
Okay.
Okay. So we set up a closing. We closed. We bought the house. Okay.
Now, did you guys buy it on contract for deed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which normally, and to be honest, I could have bought this however I wanted to. It really didn't matter.
Yeah.
But I probably should have bought it all inclusive, trustee. Just because we own it, I'd rather be on title than not be on title.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I really don't worry about that too much. So if this was my own personal residence, it would be absolute. But I'm really not worried about it. So it could have been done either way.
Okay.
All right. So we bought it, right?
You brought in the $16,000.
Okay. So now mistake number two. I find out, because we have a closing, and now I've got to get all the loan docs, right? I got to get all the loan information. I got to get the mortgage statement. I want to get online access so that we can make a monthly payment. By the way, we gave ourselves, we bought this in November. We didn't have a payment due until January 1st. Okay, so seller made the December payment.
Okay.
And so I finally get all that. And I'm like, oh, that was a mistake. Because what I realized is that he still has about $12,000 in equity, which, I mean, why didn't I just negotiate that out and basically take over the existing debt? Yeah. Why am I leaving $12,000? Because I didn't have to pay him $12,000.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have paid him probably four for the balance, giving him 20 and taking, you know, the same. Probably didn't even have to offer him a higher interest rate. Probably could have taken over his existing debt, yeah. Basically. Okay. This would have been good information to have. His existing interest rate is 2.75%.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm like, this was a mistake. But I'm looking at the mortgage statement really closely. And it shows that the interest rate's good through 2021, at which point it's adjustable. That would have been really good information to know prior to closing, don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, it's an adjustable rate mortgage.
Yeah. So I contacted the seller and I said, what, this is adjustable? And he's like, yeah, it can adjust. Starting in 2021, 1%, the maximum per year, 1%. Okay. We have it for 4 years, so it could actually adjust 2% over the course of our time frame to 4.75. All right, that's not a killer. It's not, you know, yeah. I don't have to be. But for 2 years, I got a great interest rate. And it, worst case scenario, it's going to go up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I can deal with that, but it certainly should have been something that we knew up front. Okay, so I say to him, I'm a little concerned because I'm paying you this much money and it's slightly more than what you're paying, but ultimately this could, your rate's going to increase and you may actually owe more money every month than what I'm paying you. I don't really want that to happen. That's kind of a problem. What if I just give you $5,000 for the rest of your equity and I'll just make your payment whatever it goes to? So he's been super happy with that idea, but I haven't paid him yet. Why do you think I haven't paid him?
Because you're, I don't know.
That's because I don't have a buyer yet.
Okay.
Okay. So I had someone that came to us and this is what he said. I'll put down 20%, so like $80,000, and at 5% interest. So when he offered, when he kind of countered our proposal, and he offered that, immediately I thought, well, I'm getting all this money. I'm going to have to apply some of it toward this bank loan, because one thing you don't want to do is keep the $80,000 but still owe, you know, more on
the principal balance.
Yeah, than your buyer owes you. Yeah. I mean, that's a problem waiting to happen. So I would go pay down the bank loan to make it even or close to it or whatever. But I would also want to pay off my seller at that time. So I thought this was a done deal. Okay. So I went to the seller and I'm like, yeah, what was I just doing?
You were negotiating
a discount for a note, right? Even though it's not really, it's partial note.
Yes.
Yeah. Our note was for $350,000 or something, but there's a difference between his underlying note and what.
Yeah, of the $12,000. Right. So you're discounting his $12,000.
I was trying to make an extra $7,000-ish.
Yeah.
Plus, he doesn't care, and he'd rather have the money now.
Yeah,
And not have to worry about this going forward.
Right.
So it's a win-win for both of us.
Right.
But then my buyer flaked.
Okay.
So now I could write him a check and just go modify the note that we had drawn up. But I don't want to pay, we already paid $16,000 out of our pocket. I don't really want to keep writing checks.
Right.
I'd rather have a check come back and then do it. So I just told him, Yes, I literally just talked to him the other day. He's like, are we doing that deal? And I said, yeah, but it's probably not going to happen until January. And because why wouldn't I do that deal? $5,000 to make 12. I think you do that all the time, right?
Right.
So I just want it to come from someone else's money rather than mine.
Yeah.
So he's like, great, that'll work. So we got past that. We closed on this deal. Yeah. Okay. Mistake number two. When you close on a property, what should you go do?
Get insurance.
Well, that's a great one, yes. So we have not gotten insurance as of yet. Now, the seller has insurance, and I instructed the seller to change his policy from an owner-occupant policy to a rental policy.
Okay.
And then we should go get a separate policy.
Yes.
That secures us.
Yeah.
I have not done that yet. Why? Because we don't typically do this. We don't typically buy the property.
Yeah.
We typically find the buyer. And so, okay. What else do you normally do when you close on a property? Oh, you know this one, Jonathan. I promise you do.
I'm not sure what you're after here.
Utilities.
Of course.
Yeah, so we didn't. So
put utilities in your name.
And what we decided, so we're sending people over there. I hadn't even seen this house, so I sent people over there. The house is in fine shape, except it's got like 6 different colors of paint.
Okay.
Okay? So I go over there, and we're in the winter here. It's cold.
Yeah.
And it's super cold in this house. And so I walk through it, and I'm like, look, this house doesn't need much, but it could use a new, fresh coat of paint. The carpets need to be cleaned, and the house just needs to be cleaned.
Okay.
That's it. But it does need that. It's like they did a good job of leaving, but, they didn't vacuum and wipe everything down. And, so I go through there, and the water's off. That's not good if I need a painter, a carpet cleaner, and a housekeeper to go over there. And apparently I thought the gas was on, but the gas was not on. So remember to turn on the utilities, especially if you're in a state where you're dealing with cold weather, because that could have been catastrophic as far as...
Yes, pipes bursting. Yeah.
So I could have gone over to, 3 feet of water. So, which, by the way, is, ask me how I know this. It's happened. So, pay attention to the details. So those were my main mistakes. Okay. I didn't get the information I should have up front before making my initial offer and making my new offer.
Right.
At any point in time, I should have gotten that information.
Yeah.
Because I would have gotten a better deal.
Right.
Now it's going to cost me a little more, but is it going to, I'll show you what's going to happen here in a second. But still, I'm a professional. This is what I do. We should get the information prior to closing. Second, utilities, make sure you get those squared away immediately. And third, make sure that you get all of the information that you need, keys, access online, mortgage statement, limited power of attorney, authorization to release, just in case you have to deal with the bank. If the bank sells this loan, that you still can get access to who do you make the payment to,
right?
Kind of thing. So make sure that you do all this. So had a few mistakes here. So what's going to happen, just so I can run these numbers, because you'll probably like them. Now, did we get a super good deal on this property?
No.
Not even, right? So we bought it for $366,000. We put $16,000 down. We had some closing costs, and I think we didn't pay the seller's costs. So we had very little, like $500.
Okay.
But we're going to have closing costs again when we sell it. So we're into it for $366,000. 16,000 down, $500 in closing costs. We're going to have to make a payment now because we dilly-dallied around.
Yeah, you got to make January's payment.
So our payment is $1,724 PITI, so principal interest.
Taxes and insurance.
So we're going to have to pay $1,724. So we also painted. That was $1,600, I believe. We cleaned it. We've done these things now, finally. And I think our cleaning was $200. And we still got to get the carpets cleaned. So, I don't know, $300 maybe?
Okay.
So we'll be into this. Plus, am I going to pay our seller more money? Yes.
Yeah, that $5,000.
$5,000. So, in reality, our money-wise, we'll be into it for, let's see, 18... maybe a little over $25,000.
Okay.
So that's the $16,000 down. Plus we got a little more closing costs, so maybe $2,000. So that's $16,500.
So about $27,000.
Yeah, probably about $27,000 all in. Okay. That's what it's going to cost us. Okay. So we're going to go fine, and I'm super confident because I would have never bought this if I didn't think that would be the case. So we bought it for $366. In reality, it's actually, we're going to have bought it for like $12,000 less, right?
Yeah.
So let's call it $352.
Okay.
We're selling it for $400. Okay. Which I think we could actually sell it for more. The reason that I don't want to is that this house has already had some exposure as far as like MLS, at 387, it was on KSL. So I don't want to get too crazy here. So I think 400 is good, but normally I would probably go in at around 415, but 400 is all right.
Okay.
I want 40,000 minimum down.
Yeah.
Right? Because I always want 10%. Okay. So the difference between 40 and how much were we into it? 27?
Yeah.
We make 13. Yeah. Not great, but nothing to sneeze at, right?
Yeah.
So right now, our mortgage payment is $1,724 at 2.75%. We are getting about $635 that it's going toward principal. Right now on our underlying loan.
Okay.
We're going to sell this at 5 to 5.5% interest.
Okay.
Okay, so let's just assume someone brings 40 down, no more than that. And as you know in our previous episode, sometimes they bring a lot more. And I just told you that we had an offer of $80,000 down. So sometimes you go with what comes at you.
Right.
Okay. But this is what my assumptions are. So we're going to get 10% down. At 5.25, the principal and interest payment will be $1,987.
Okay.
If we get it at 5.5, it'll be $2,044.
Okay.
Now remember, they're going to pay taxes and they're going to pay insurance.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be at least another $250,000 on top of this payment. Okay, so let's say that, let's just call it $200 more.
Yeah.
Okay, so one will be around $2,200, one will be around $2,250, somewhere in there. What are we paying? Out? $1,724.
Okay.
$22 and $17, it's almost a $475 a month cash flow. One's a little over $500 a month cash flow. Is that decent?
Yeah.
Decent on a house that we had no loan on.
Yeah.
Decent on a house we already got paid on, right?
Right.
Even though I'm not happy with our down payment anymore.
Yeah.
But, so that's not bad at this point, right?
Right.
So, ultimately, we will owe, let's see, 350, 348 is our underlying note, because with a discount,
yeah,
our buyer will still owe us 360, right?
Yeah.
At 5.5%, one of those two. We're getting principal pay down of $635. I don't know what the principal pay down will be on this. It will not be $635, right?
Right.
So I'll probably be making another $350 a month or so, at least initially, probably for the first year or two, in additional equity. So we have a $12,000 spread that when they refinance, we get.
Right.
So we got $13,000 up front. We're getting close to $500 or better
cash flow.
We're getting another $12 minimum. Plus, we're making probably another $300 or so dollars a month. That's another $3,600 for the year. So 1 year, we're going to make close to $16. Second year, we're probably going to make close to $20. So when it's all said and done, but by the way, if the furnace goes out, who's going to fix it?
Not you.
Not me. Not at all. So these are my favorite kinds of things to do. Now, we screwed up. We could have made a bunch more money. If I would have known what I was dealing with, I wouldn't have to pay an extra $5,000.
Yeah.
If we were more on top of things, we probably would not have to make this monthly mortgage payment. But does that still work?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Those are the deals I like to do. When you make mistakes, they still work. It's not like we've got to write checks.
So just to clarify, you're buying it on contract for deed and selling it on contract
that
for
is
deed.
True.
Okay. Yep. What's the term on that? 3 years?
We have 4 years.
You guys negotiated another year.
This is my thought process. I probably want to only give someone 3 years.
Yeah.
Because my interest rate can keep adjusting. It's not going to do me a whole lot of good that fourth year, at least in my mind. I don't know if it would. And it also is like a cushion. So if at the end of 3 years someone doesn't perform, that, you know, I have the right to go do whatever.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. And you have no idea the relationship that we have with this seller. But do you think at the end of 4 years, if I needed all 4 years, if I went back to the seller and said, look, I have someone in there, but the market's changed a bit, or the interest rates are so high now, or my buyer just can't qualify. Can we work something out for another 12 months or 18 months or 24 months?
For an extension.
I have a super good chance of getting that. And even if I had to offer him a little money to do it, super good chance.
Right. Right.
That's why I like creative financing.
And it's phenomenal. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around all this, but.
Well, now here's the other question. So what if I put someone in here, so I get $40,000 down, and what if they make payments for the next 2-3 years, we make a nice cash flow, but they don't get refinanced. And my seller's not willing to give us one more day extension. He wants his loan out of his name. And the market is totally tanked. The property's not worth what it was. Everything, interest rates are 7%. So nothing's working in our favor. Nothing.
You forfeit.
Yeah, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to us?
You forfeit.
I'll give the property back to you, Mr. Seller.
Exactly.
So did we do all right? We still made money up front. We still made the cash flow.
Yeah.
We didn't get the back end money. It's not likely that I would do that. But what's the risk? There's just not much risk.
No, especially if you got all your money out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not. That's the magic of creative finance.
Yeah,
right,
so
there. That's actually a really creative deal. That's really cool. And we didn't really go into the details, so I'm kind of like I'm learning this as we go
along. It's not like I found a deal where we could buy like 100,000 below market value. Initially, I agreed to pay 371 on a house that he couldn't sell on the MLS for 387.
Yeah.
Some different things occurred after that, but. And only because I didn't get the information up front.
Yeah.
But it's not like these are the kinds of deals that are around.
Yeah.
That, you know, and most people, there was another investor. And can I tell you that this is what the seller told me at closing. And I thought, this is what I said to him after he told me what this other investor offered him. I said, you can thank me now. That was going to end really poorly for you. And he said the other investor offered him $5,000 over his mortgage payment and that he wanted him to quick claim the property to him. And he wanted it for 7 years, but it could be longer than that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I can tell that whoever's offering that is not, one, taking into account anything that the seller tells him, doesn't care. It's either fit my mold or nothing.
Right.
You don't do a quick claim.
No.
And
there's no protection there.
No. And the 7 years, you know, if you're not willing to give a term, the only time that I kind of leave it open is if people were in default. And he's not in default.
Right.
He's never been behind. So he treated him like he was in default. And I could tell that that was not going to end well. So
right.
Instead, he got $11,000 more, plus $5,000 soon. So
yeah,
did way better with us. Would that have been a better deal for me if I would have just given him $10,000? And yeah, it would have. But I'd rather have a success story where the seller's happy, our buyer's happy, and we're happy.
Absolutely.
We do more business that way.
Yeah, for sure. Even if you make a little less.
Yeah.
You will do more deals. Very cool. Very cool. I love that.
Do you have any other questions? I mean, maybe something that I missed that I didn't clarify so well.
Oh, let's just sum up your mistakes. So maybe you should have bought it on an all-inclusive.
Yep.
You didn't get the loan docs up front, so you didn't know that there was
an
adjustable rate mortgage. And
I didn't know how much equity there was.
Yeah, you didn't know how much equity, so you could have got a little more there.
Yep.
And you didn't turn the utilities on, and that could have been a disaster.
Could have been, yep.
But it wasn't, yep. So.
And we didn't go at this I don't know if we would have gotten a buyer just during the time frame that we had, but I probably should have worked out maybe two payments that the seller would make rather than one.
Yeah.
Just knowing that this time of the year would be difficult.
Yeah. So the timing of it all, you could ask for them to make that payment because of that.
Yeah. And just so you know, so if you don't have $16,000 plus a payment, plus carpet, paint, whatever, you don't need it. I mean, we rarely do it this way. We did it because we saw an opportunity. He needed some urgency.
Yeah.
But really what the goal would have been is to take that time, that 30 days, and find that end buyer. And have that buyer bring that money in. You could have still stayed it right in the middle where we're at. You would have had to found the right title company to handle that. Our title company may have wanted us to get permission from the buyer to use their funds to allow us to purchase the property to begin with. And that will vary all across the country. And maybe every different title company would be different. It's almost like doing a simultaneous closing, which may or may not be allowed around where you are. But
right,
we actually have to get permission from the buyer, which I've gotten before. It's like, here, I can offer you these terms, but I got to be able to use your money for 30 seconds. Do you have a problem with that?
Right.
Sign this.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, guys. Well, I hope that you're able to follow along on that episode. If not, I would recommend go back, listen to it, re-listen to it, and just write the numbers down as Jeff. I'm sitting right here with Jeff as he's writing the numbers down, going through them. So that so I can see that firsthand. So it helps me better understand how he put this together. And Jeff, it really was a creative deal. I mean, I don't know if it gets any more creative than that, especially with the mistakes that you made. It's
really not that creative. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but I think we're going to have an episode where we're going to talk about how to look at deals, in terms of exit strategies. Because in my mind, that's how you start looking at something right away. Does it always work out that way? No. But immediately I'd like, what kind of category, potentially exit strategy, does this deal fall under? That way it'll start helping you figure out, how do I need to try to structure this?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, guys, that's it. You can reach us on our hotline if you want to ask a question, if there's a topic you want us to cover, if you want to leave a comment, if you want to let us know how we're doing. That hotline is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. Or you can reach us at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. We would love your feedback. Please pass this on. We need more subscribers. And to do that, we need you guys to rate and review us so we get in front of more people. So we appreciate your guys' ear. And until next time, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.